message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Thank you, Ken, very much. We're talking about being prepared, repaired, and made usable. That's where we've been over the past couple weeks. Today we're going to wrap this whole little series up, and we're going to talk about what is it to be usable. Now, I have to kind of preface something here, because as soon as I started going over this, and I'm like, Lord, I'm getting this really uncomfortable feeling in my spirit about this word usable. Because when I hear the word usable, my mind connects usable with being used. And being used is a kind of negative thing, because if I ask for a show of hands in this room, I think probably all of us would say we have been on the bad side of being used before. Misused might be the better word to be putting in here. So I started thinking about this, and I said, if we're going to conclude a teaching series on being prepared, repaired, and made usable, then here's what I need to also kind of get on the table. The very idea of being made usable means you're being used for God's purposes. So let's put this on the table. God is good. Amen. God is perfectly good. Therefore, if God wants to use us for his good pleasure, his end result will be good and perfect for us. Now, I understand when I hear the word usable, I connect it to a dysfunctional past, a dysfunctional friendship, a dysfunctional relationship, and I'm like, I don't want to be used again. Listen, if God's inviting you to be a part of his kingdom, of his purpose, of his reality, then we need to understand we got to take away to God the dysfunctional past of our present. Okay? Oh, I had this bad relationship with a certain person or a certain situation. Therefore, I don't want to be misused again. Don't take that and put that on God. God is good. When God calls you out to be used for his purposes, it will be a good and perfect end for you every single time. He will not misuse you. He is not in the business of misusing you. He's not in the business of creating some dysfunctional relationship with you. In fact, the very idea that he invites you into a synergistic relationship means he wants you to be a part of this relationship. Otherwise, God would be saying, I do, you do, and that's the end of the story. I don't want to hear any complaining out of you. But he invites you to be a part of the journey. He wants you to be a part of this story. And so to be a part of a story means you got to be usable, right? So some of you might remember the story, and if you have, forgive me, I needed to share a quick tidbit of it, of my first job experience, my first working experience. I was 14 years old. Those of you already heard it, forgive me, I'll be real quick. 14 years old, first day of summer, my dad walks in the room and says, throw your clothes on, we're going downtown, you're getting a job. So we get in the car, we drive downtown, he walks me into Nelson's Bakery. It was this little cafe bakery in Winchester. Walks me in, has a five-minute conversation with the guy there. It was obviously somewhat prearranged. Had a five-minute conversation with the guy, and then he said, you got a job. Can I tell you something at 14, or in some cases maybe older, but definitely at 14, just because I had a job, it doesn't mean I knew how to work. Right? Just because you get a job doesn't mean you know how to work. I learned how to work Monday morning on my first day at the job. I walk in there, and here's the guy who hired me. He also was my trainer, and guess what he says? He shows me tasks. He shows me a table. He shows me how to wipe it down. He shows me how to pull a table out to sweep underneath it, to then put it back, and how to mop, and how to empty trash, and how to clean bathrooms. And I went through all of these trainings to become usable to that business. I was not usable just because I had a job and I showed up on Monday morning at 8 o'clock and here I am, now give me a check. No, I had to be shown or trained how to be usable. Now, thankfully, that was a quick study, okay? I wasn't perfect. What 14-year-old knows how to work?
None.
There are some adults who are so struggling with the idea of working, okay? But at 14, you don't know how to work. So your boss kind of tells you, hey, you did that wrong. Do it again. Let me show you. Let me show you what I mean. And you start to learn, this is what my boss wants to make him happy, to make the business profitable for me to have a job, right? So by about 6 months into summer, well, it was 3 months into summer, I was now going from cleaning tables, sweeping, mopping, emptying trash, cleaning the bathroom, to now doing that, and also I was cleaning the meat slicers, and I was cleaning all of the dishes and all the plates, and I was doing food prep, and I was doing sandwiches, and I washed my hands, and I was doing soups, and I was doing all these things. Well, by the end of a full year on that job, even though I wanted to quit several times, my parents would never let me quit. So by the end of a full year there, I was 15 years old. I worked every day, Monday through Friday after school. I worked most Saturdays, never on Sundays. My dad worked that out where I didn't have to ever work on a Sunday. But I worked basically 6 days a week. After a full year, I was 15 years old, and in the summertime, I was opening and closing the bakery.
Wow.
And that's not because I'm a great worker, but I learned something about how to be usable. After a year, I kept that job for 2.5 years. The only thing I could never do at that job in 2.5 years was count the end of a day take. That was the one thing. I never did the register. I mean, I did register making change, but I never did the end of the day count. But I did everything else. I could open and I closed and I had a key. And my boss at 15 years old trusted me to do that. And I did it. And the truth is, I moved on. I worked at after that job, I worked at another deli / seafood market. So I took what it was to be usable there over. And no matter how many jobs I've had, and I'm sure you can have similar stories, I've taken this lesson of what do I need to do to be usable in this new job? Whatever the learning curve is, big or little, doesn't matter. I know what I have to do to be usable. And this is what we're talking about being usable. Because you and me are more than just a vessel, and you're not a pod, okay? You're not a robot. You're not someone without feelings, without desires, and not without wants. You are a part of God's glorious creation. In fact, you're the highest part of God's glorious creation. Wrap your mind around that for a moment. In all of creation, God said, this right here is the apex of what I'm going to create. And when he did that, he created in this room, and I'm just looking at this sample size today, such beautiful, complex diversity. I'm around diverse people. Different gifts, different talents, different passions, different wants, different desires, different stories, different versions of humor. And what it tells me is, when I see this kind of diversity and complexity given to us by God in this room, by us, it tells me that we are way more than just a tool, or a shell, or even an animal. We are created in his likeness, beautifully and wonderfully made for the purpose of being usable in his kingdom purpose. So if you say, I don't have much to offer, wrong. The very fact that you're breathing and have a thought, a want, a desire, and actually can function tells me that God loves you so much and cares about you so much, he wants to invite you to be a part of his plan. That's awesome. Even if you only have a handful of fishes and loaves, you're part of the big plan. Beautiful idea, beautiful concept, beautiful reality. Here's this other thought. You're beautifully and wonderfully made, right? You're created to worship. We all have a worship void, don't we? Because even if you don't worship God, you worship something. Some people worship self. Some people worship wants and desires. Some people worship a lot of things. But seldom do people worship the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their being. This is the commandment, right? Worship the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and being. Some even worship spirituality, but miss out on worshiping God. And what this kind of gets me thinking about is this. Sadly, because we're not a worshiping people, we are a people that never become fully usable for the kingdom. And so we never really meet our divine purpose. You're created to be a part of a legacy. You may not feel like you are, but you are. And while other companies and people will build legacies in wealth and in names and in corporations, they're not building a legacy for the kingdom. Kings and kingdoms of this world, and I put that in quotes, are going to pass away. When the Lord's kingdom fully is revealed on earth, it won't matter if it was Lehman Brothers or Saks Fifth Avenue or a company that says we were started in 1805. If it's not about building the kingdom of God, it will pass away. And that includes the kingdom of Joshua. If I'm not about building the kingdom of God, my name also passes away. That's a good thing, by the way. There shouldn't be anything that competes with the glory and majesty of God and the perfection and the goodness of Him, no matter how wonderful it might feel to me right now. So, I want to talk about being made usable. Now, I got to add this, though. Don't misunderstand me, please. I'm not contrasting things of the world and things of God by saying, run away from the things of this world. Guess what, guys? God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's scripture, by the way. He told Israel, even when they were going into captivity, plant your vineyards and enjoy the fruits of your labor. Marry and keep the customs. But when the time comes, and when I speak again to leave, you leave with the plan of God. Mm-hmm. So my point is this. Enjoy life. If you have a nice thing, a car, a home, enjoy it. Enjoy working and enjoy having and do good things with your with what God's blessed you with. Don't feel guilty for being blessed. But when God speaks, be prepared to set it down and follow the plan. That's what we're talking about. Because here's the reality. What does Paul tell us? Everything in moderation, right? So God understands how to put a balance together. Whose fault is it when it's out of balance? Right? We're the ones who swing the pendulum away from God and more toward us. Lord, I want, I need, I have to have. And God's like, well, what about the kingdom? Oh, yeah, that too. But if I can get this first. So we got to get back in balance. So here is the question. We're talking about being made usable. Who helps us keep the balance? You say the word of God. Okay, now Holy Ghost, right? Think about this. Who keeps us in check? Who tells us that's excess? That's not moderation. Now, I'm going to say what you said, Pastor Paul. The word of God, right? Mm-hmm. Sadly, is there any shortage of Bibles in this world?
No.
Okay, there's a ton of Bibles. Tons of translations, good translations. Say, even if they took out all the bad ones, there's some good ones. There's no shortage of the Word of God, yet we're not reading it. We have people who will claim to be Christians who don't even believe it. So now, it's not that we can't trust the Word of God, but the Word of God's not valued in our experience any longer. So we can't go there. How about God? The Father, right? The Father. We can go to Him. But yet today, even with Christians, there's a very popular theological thought that says God is so unknowable, you don't even deserve the right to ask God, the Father, to know what He's doing. So God just becomes way removed from our experience. How about Jesus? Right? Unfortunately, I think it's Jesus who is the most deluded in our culture today. He is a prophet to different religions and ideologies. He is a social justice guru to others. He's a religious zealot to some other people. Some people consider him a raving lunatic. And if you even have met with Christians, that's with Christians. So now we can't even say, well, Jesus, because people will say, which Jesus are you talking about? So we have a real challenge, don't we? So here it is. Perhaps the person that actually does keep this all together is the Holy Spirit. The third part of the Godhead, right? The part that brings the fullness of God's Word into the fullness of the Father, into the fullness of the Son, and fills you with the fullness of the Spirit. This is the missing ingredient. And I will go on record as saying, in my opinion, it is the Holy Spirit that is the often most overlooked and ignored but critical part of the Trinity. He is the one who brings into perfect working understanding the unity that people need to get so they finally understand their place and purpose in the kingdom. This is where we're at today. Without the Holy Spirit, the Word of God just lays flat as black and red ink on pages. True? Without the Holy Spirit, it just becomes a book for a lot of people. Without the Holy Spirit, God becomes a cosmic myth. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus is everything to everyone and anything in between. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he reveals to us the Word is true, God the Father is true, he came in the form of Jesus and dwelt with us, Emmanuel. And we believe. Without the Holy Spirit, we have this issue. Now, let me do an insert here. I'm taking us out of the Word. This is Joshua Johnian now speaking. You can agree and disagree with this. That's fine. Personally, I believe the primary reason the church is, and I put this with emphasis, largely ineffective in influencing the world, the culture, and our nation is because the church is largely unusable to a kingdom design because the church has been building itself on a model that primarily keeps the Holy Spirit locked in the attic or in the basement and never invites him to participate with the family. Now, that's my opinion. Not every church, as I said, largely. But we have a lot of issues when we have large churches and our nation is further and further from God. We have a lot of problems if we have churches on every street corner, this one included, and our culture is further and further from God. We're missing someone, the Holy Spirit. So, we've been looking at the baptism of John. We've been talking about John the Baptist. Let me ask the question, and please answer. This is not rhetorical. Why was he largely effective? Why? Gabriel already told Zechariah why he was going to be largely effective. Because from his birth, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. John was effective because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. John was baptizing people in water into repentance. He was preparing the way for the Son of the Lord. But then what did he say? One is coming after me who I am not even worthy enough to hold his sandals, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. One was coming after John that he was preparing the way for. That's amazing. Okay, listen. 120 people in the upper room, 12 apostles. They left Jerusalem changed. Why? Not because they had seen and heard what Jesus did, though they had. Things hadn't changed yet, right? I mean, certain things, you know, in little areas in Bethany, Lazarus raised from the dead, there were miracles happening all around Jesus and the 12. But on a global level, things had not changed yet. So what sent 120 people out of an upper room and 12 apostles out and literally set the world on fire? What changed? The Holy Spirit. They were filled with the power and that baptism of the Spirit. And when that happened, all the things they had witnessed, seen, heard, and done made perfect sense. And when they spoke with a boldness that was supernatural. And wherever they went, it changed the environment around them. Whether they went by twos or they went by groups more, it changed the world. Can you get your mind around the fact that Rome, the greatest empire in the world, and the very actual city of Rome, expelled Christians because of what they were changing within the city of Rome? And there could not have been thousands of Christians in Rome at the time. Maybe hundreds, but not thousands. And Rome went out expelling them. Why? The culture was changing when they were ministering, because they were speaking in the boldness of the Holy Spirit and in fire, and it was changing. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. But it's the Holy Spirit that actually made these men and women fully usable. And I think if we can allow the Holy Spirit to get into our life, and I'm talking like really get in, he can change us on the inside. He will change us on the outside, and then we will, if we are being led by the Spirit, change this outside world. I am just as frustrated with our nation, our city, this county, anything that might frustrate you, I am just as frustrated. Maybe you're more frustrated than I am. But the reality is, if I say, well, I'm just one man, what am I going to do? I'm going to complain, I'm going to post it on Facebook, and I do that as well. But I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know what? I need to say, Holy Spirit of the living God, change me, fill me, so when I walk out there in that street, and if I speak to a certain circumstance or a situation or a person, that it's not, I'm going to come and beat you up, but the Spirit of God in me is a change agent that changes the things around me. If we don't think that in this room of this number of people, we can't change Franklin, Tennessee, then we need to go back to the words of James when he says, any man who doubts cannot expect anything from God. We are here filled with the Holy Spirit. I cannot see why we cannot expect any change in our city, in our culture, in our state. With this room alone, if not one other church did it, we could. We could. I have to believe that. Otherwise, God's not true. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit's just a big joke, and I don't believe that at all, and I don't think you do as well. But be warned. Be warned, because the minute you make yourself fully usable to the Father, Son, and Spirit, you will offend, and I put this in quotes, you will offend the kings of this world. John's ministry was meant to decrease while Jesus was meant to increase, but ultimately John's ministry and life ended because he preached a Holy Spirit birth word that challenged every part of Israel's society, even King Herod. That's why John got thrown in jail. Not because he was preaching. There was a lot of people preaching. But John was preaching a Holy Spirit word that confronted the religious thought, the cultural thought, the societal attitudes, and the king himself in Jerusalem. And that's what landed him in jail. When you side with the Father, Son, and Spirit, you are going to offend the kings of this world. Get ready. Get ready. Going to happen. Now, I said that because John's message was a Holy Spirit birth message, and what was his message? It was a call to holiness and righteousness. Just to quickly go into it, John's issue with King Herod was that King Herod had married the wife of his brother. It was beyond a customary mistake. It was a religious violation as well. And the situation of how he got his brother's wife was also very dubious. So when John's out there preaching, he's preaching for holiness. Why? Because if you are the king and God's allowing you to be the king, you need to be living holy before the Lord. And if we're all priests, we don't need to be ordaining an unholy living. You see, that starts really ruffling the feathers real fast. And that's what John was doing, but not on purpose, because John's final chapter is perhaps his most profound in being made usable. I was going over this and I said, wow, John's so awesome. He was being made usable to prepare the kingdom. But it's his last chapter that shows us how remarkable he was in being made usable, because John gets imprisoned, right? And you want to hear the irony of all ironies? he gets imprisoned in a fortress that's named after the wife of Herod's brother. He's sitting in a prison that's named after the woman who's the wife of the king, who's the wife of another brother. You know, you're saying, that's kind of funny, right? I'm sitting here and I'm calling you out and I'm now sitting in your prison. Thank you very much. But here's John now imprisoned. And when John is in prison, some of his disciples come to him and they start telling him, hey, this guy Jesus, remember the guy you baptized? He's out there preaching a similar message as you. And so John asks, wait a second. Are you the one? Go back and ask him. Are you the one that I was preparing the way for? Now, follow this with me. Because here's what John is asking. His disciples go to him and say, Jesus is preaching your message, but he's added something. That he has come to loose the captives and set free those who are in prison. Where's John right now? In prison. And bound. So when he sends message back saying, hey, ask him, are you the one I've been preparing the way of the Lord for? I could almost want to insert, oh, and by the way, if you are and you're here to loose and free, I'm bound. I'm in prison. How about this one that we would naturally say, what about me, Lord? 6 months, it has been amazing, and now I'm in shackles. Wouldn't I be more usable if I was free? But look at Jesus' answer. Jesus' reply is amazingly reassuring to John and to us, because this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, go back and tell John all you see and hear, and tell him, blessed is the person who does not fall away on account of me. Wow. When we started this teaching series on being prepared, repaired, and usable, I said that Zechariah, John's father, was being prepared, Elizabeth repaired, John made usable. But in a sense, they were all being prepared, repaired, and made usable. And we too are being prepared, repaired, and made usable. But let's look at Jesus' words about John and how they come to us today. Jesus' words to John are not words of abandonment. That's what it might sound like on a first read. Hey, blessed are you who's in jail because of me. You're asking, what about me? And I'm saying, good luck, pal. Hang in there. That's not what Jesus is saying. Here's what he is saying. Jesus is saying, your message, your Holy Spirit message, didn't put you in jail because you were over the top. I love when people say that. Oh, brother, you're getting over the top. You're pushing it too far. That's not what got John in jail. He didn't push it too far. He gave the message the Holy Spirit birthed in. That's what put him in jail. Jesus didn't say, well, John, tough luck. You offended the world. Now you put yourself in a bad spot. So let's just see what happens. Can I tell you something? Here's the reality. The road, it's long and winding. Out of the Beatles song, the long and winding road. It leads us to places that we don't understand. But we do know this. The methods of God and the wisdom of God is not the methods and wisdom of this world. So while you might find yourself in a season of, what about me, Lord? I'm in shackles and in bonds. You need to understand, maybe you are now in this last season being made even more usable than when you were out there free. Doesn't make sense to the world, but it could make perfect sense to God and his legacy of what he's building in your life by inviting you to be a part of the story. Remember, the gold that is left longer in the fire is the pure element. Of all of John's ministry, preparation, and now finally imprisonment, he was being asked to be useful for Christ while in chains and in bondage. That's amazing. His what about me is being told, your reward is you're not offended for Christ's sake. God gave him the privilege of inheriting a legacy for the kingdom to be used for a purpose and a plan to prepare the way for Christ. Who was going to be what? The ransom for all who were bound and under the curse to be set free. You see, it wasn't the dynamic duo of Jesus and John who were going to set free the whole world. It was Jesus who was going to be made ransom for all. Jesus ultimately was going to go into his own prison and die for the ransom of all. And so Jesus saying, John, blessed are you who does not fall away on account of me, tells us that, John, you understand you're usable because you prepared the way for God's legacy. I am he who is going to set free everyone from not just natural bonds, but spiritual bondages. And blessed are you who sits there in shackles and will not deny me. Why do we know that? Well, Josh, it sounds wonderful that you're saying that, but how is that scripture? Here's how it's scripture. Matthew 11:11. Jesus says the following. I tell you the truth. Among those born of a woman, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. And yet ye who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. What a reward for John to be considered the greatest of that born of a woman, greatest in the kingdom, because he was fully usable and he was not offended about Christ. And yet Jesus says, and if you are like him, you're greater than him. The least would be greater than him. Something to be said about being prepared, repaired, and made usable. Do you remember what Gabriel told Zechariah about John? Gabriel told Zechariah, in the eyes of God, he will be a great man. Is that all that matters? In the eyes of God? Does it matter what anyone thinks about me or you in this world? Oh, he's a this, she's a that. They never did this. What about in the eyes of God? Because John the Baptist only had a ministry of 6 months, landed in jail, and got his head literally put on a platter because of a drunken party and orgy. That's hardly, according to the world, a great man. But he was fully prepared, repaired, and made usable to make the way of the Lord. And in doing so, God said, Jesus said, God in flesh said, there is none greater than John the Baptist of he had born of a woman. And yet if you had this heart and you were the least, you'd be greater than he. John came in the spirit of Elijah. He came in the Holy Spirit. John's effectiveness can be our effectiveness today if we are willing to live our lives in the walk of the Holy Spirit. When we're living, moving, and having our being in Christ and filled by the Holy Spirit, you will finally grasp what it is to be in the legacy usable of the kingdom of God. Never doubt, I love this quote, I can't take it for myself. Never doubt in darkness what God has spoken to you in his revelation light. John was in literal darkness in a dungeon, but he, in his doubt, when he heard, he didn't doubt any further. He was willing not to be ashamed for Jesus, even if it meant the end of his natural life. How many men and women have lived that same walk and are living it today? And yet, for every martyred Christian in other parts of the world who are not born like John was, right? You know, they believe the testimony. Jesus said, they are least and they will be greater than John. Let's not look at these people and say, and they are as poor in the sense of suffering. Oh, but no, they're poor. They just never did it, never made it, never got it. Oh, how... They are inheriting God's legacy beyond what our mind can even wrap our heads around. Because they're willing not to be ashamed for Christ. I don't even know how to... that amazes me. That amazes me. Every new year, this year, next year, God wants to prepare you, repair you, and make you usable because he wants your life to produce his righteousness. He wants your life to produce his righteousness. So pray that God will use you in a fresh way. Pray that God will revive you. Pray that he will use you to reach the lives of the seeking, the searching, and the lost. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you once again with a fresh anointing to love people again, to reach out and call them out of the waste of this world and let them get prepared and repaired and made usable for the kingdom that is coming and the kingdom that is at hand. Perhaps God is wanting you individually and us corporately to sweep away the evil cultures of this world by being an example of what it is to live, move, and have our being filled with the Holy Spirit and in Christ alone. Amen. And if adversity should be our lot for a season, then let us all resolve to not be offended for Christ's sake. Embrace it and remember your legacy will be as John's reward. When John is being told, go back and tell him this, what a tremendous message Jesus was telling him. Jesus was telling John while in shackles, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Jesus was saying to John, as Paul said, you ran your race, you fought your fight, you finished your course. You were fully usable for the kingdom. It's now at hand. God's taking it from here. And look who's going to be loosed and set free. We're sitting in a room right now of people who are standing on a road prepared by men and women like John. But why can we not be those like John? You see, John was not a reed. You know, a reed has no meat in it. It just does this in the wind. John was not easily swayed. He was a man of conviction. He was not a celebrity who enjoyed fame or luxury with a crazy diet and wild clothing. He was a servant willing to suffer for Christ. And Christ says that John's ministry, this is going to blow your mind, by the way, that John's ministry, because John did what he did, allowed Jesus to do what he did, which fulfilled prophecy out of Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to just paraphrase. You know what Malachi chapter 3 told us? It said, there is one coming who will prepare the way of the Lord, and yet the hearts of the people will not receive it. Which means someone's going to come, prepare the way for salvation. Salvation's going to come, and it's going to be largely rejected, which means someone's coming back to resolve and redeem all of what he created. Jesus says about John in Malachi, and he says it in Matthew as well. He says, if the nation had received John, then they would have received me. And therefore, John would have been Elijah. But John wasn't Elijah. John came in the spirit of Elijah. But because the nation rejected John, they were going to reject me, which means I was going to come and do what I did after John did what he did. And I'm coming back to take it all under possession. You see, God doesn't just do things on a whim. He was fulfilling prophecy of Malachi 400 years before John started speaking. God knows how to tie up loose ends. This is why John becomes the last of the great Old Testament prophets. That's why he is the greatest in born of men. And so here's where I want to leave. God wants to tie up your loose ends. He wants to tie up your loose ends. He wants to make you usable in the kingdom. He wants to fill you with his spirit. He wants to give you a part in the legacy of what he is building in the kingdom. And all I can tell you, and all I can encourage you is, allow the Holy Spirit to get in your life, revolutionize your living, reveal his word to you, get the right concept of God the Father and God the Son in your life, and then go out and be a change agent for his kingdom. Be prepared, get repaired, and then get usable. And then your legacy will be like John's and greater because Jesus said so. And that's why I have all the optimism that 2015 will be a year of answered prayers. If we will do this, God will do what he said.
Amen.
I have no doubts. It's right there in the word. It's right there from Jesus' own mouth. Do you believe it?
Yes.
I believe it. Now, this was not an intentional New Year's message, but it kind of makes for a good New Year's message. So let's pray. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to get into our life.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.